and welcome to. I almost was like, oh no, I don't know what episode it is. Well, we do because this is the very first episode of season four. So we have a really cool guest, an awesome guest. I say that every time. But episode one of season four, we have Heather Lee, who is a galactic canine channel. Hi, Heather. How
Hello,
are
Kayla.
you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. How's your new year starting off?
It's going. Busy, 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 busy. So it's going. I appreciate it. How's yours?
Fantastic. Yeah, on a
Good.
slow roll with lots of momentum coming.
Good. I love it. I love to hear it. All right. So tell us about, I was just telling her off camera, we're going to have really fun with this one. So I'm excited you guys to hear it. Tell us about yourself, Heather. Tell us everything. We want to know it all.
Wow, that's a lot. You sure you can handle it all?
Yes, we can.
Wow. Okay. Well, my name is Heather Lee Strom, and I just recently published a book called Canine Spirit Guides. And I am a galactic canine channel. And this is the title that the canine spirit guides have given me. And the canine spirit guides are the intergalactic version of our dogs. So basically, they are the spirit guides of our dogs. So let that sink in for a minute. So, people have spirit guides, right? So a lot of people acknowledge that, believe that, suspect that. So what I've come to find out and realize or remember actually is that dogs also have spirit guides as well. Only the caveat to that is that their spirit guides are not here for them, they're here for us. So these are benevolent entities that work with us through our dogs.
Okay. I'm letting it sink in a little bit. I'm
Yeah.
trying to trace it. Wow. Okay. So the spirit guides work with our dogs to help us out.
Yes.
Wow.
So, they work in a number of ways. So sometimes they will guide that dog into your life. Sometimes they will have that dog behave in a particular way to guide you in a certain direction. Sometimes they will just hold space and energy, which is what most people are familiar with the unconditional love of the dog. If you're grieving, or if you're hurting, or if you're lost or feel unloved, then that dog holds your energy because your energy is too low to occupy that space. So that's what most people identify as the dog, is just the holding of space, of energy. They can also come into our lives when we need them the most. And that's then you have a canine spirit guide that needs to work with you during that time in your life. So they are coming through this dog that just appears out of nowhere, like you just got a puppy, right? So there's And you were not expecting this puppy, and it wasn't a good idea to get a new puppy, right? But there's a reason you have this puppy. There's a spirit guide with this puppy that is reaching for you, that has information for you, healing for you, direction for you. It can be different for each person, but there's always something coming through that dog for you. And this is how they kind of activate us, guide us, and they can also heal us. These canine spirit guides are incredibly healing, very strong healers. They're capable of instant healing technology, which is what I have come to understand as they healed me while I wrote their book. And also now I use them, or I access them in my practice with my clients as I bring these canine spirit guides into healing sessions with my clients.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, there's a whole lot I need to tell you about them, but I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, my brain was trying to process it because you're right. It's weird. They always say that there's like a cat lottery. I always see like a joke online that there's a cat lottery, that cats always kind of come into your life when you need them, that they just pop in. And I'm like, no, dogs are the same way. Like, dogs do the same thing. They just, when you need them, but you don't know you need them, and then they just show up.
And sometimes it doesn't make any sense to have them.
No.
There's lots of stories like that in my book, because my book is about 10 of my dogs, my personal dogs. I used to be a professional dog trainer and competitor, and actually a dog breeder. And because of that, I had access to hundreds of dogs. And I have, over my lifetime, I have had probably 30 of my own personal dogs. So the canine guides gave me a list of 10 of my dogs to put in this first book. And these 10 dogs represented four of the canine spirit guides. And they refer to themselves as the core four. And so they are the first four to come through. There's over 50 in total. So there will be more books. But all the stories in this book with these dogs were about the relationship I had with these dogs and exactly what guide was working with me through these dogs and what healing that guide was trying to offer me during my experience with that dog. So they're really beautiful stories. And, at the time, I didn't see any of this. I didn't know it was happening. I didn't know I was being extended an olive branch of healing. Now I see it. And that's kind of the point. They're wanting to come out of the shadows now. They've always been undercover as far as helping humanity. And now they want to be known because it's very important that humanity begins to heal. We're in a purging phase of healing. We've got to heal humanity. And we do that by healing ourselves. So they're here to help us with that.
Okay. Wow. I agree with that. I'm trying to think. Normally, I have all these thoughts running through my head, and I think I'm trying to process. So they communicate through the canines, correct, is what you said? Or are they the canines?
Well, they are not synonymous with your dog's individual soul.
Got
No,
it.
they're separate from that.
Okay.
But they work in conjunction with the dog. So the dog will be trying to communicate their messages or sharing their energy with you.
Okay. Yeah, that clears it up. Because I was trying to be like, are they the same? That's awesome. Okay. So let's talk about, I guess, when you first noticed that you found all this information out.
Well, it was a big shock to me because I wasn't looking for it. I was not a channeler when I wrote this book. I was not entirely spiritual. I had spiritual aspects to me, but I was in the medical profession. I've been a medical provider for over 30 years as a physical therapist, a massage therapist, and even a functional medicine practitioner. So I was hiding from my spiritual side. I was trying to play safe. And that served me to a certain point until it was time for me to wake up. So I was told by spiritually that I needed to write a book. And I thought, well, okay, I'm not a writer. And what in the heck am I going to write about? My life could make up so many different books because my life is not your typical life. It's a pretty wild trip I've been on my entire life. And I always thought it would make a great story. So when I was told I was going to write a book, I thought, great, which part of my life am I going to write about? And I had a dream where my spirit guides were having a meeting with me, and we were all discussing the title of the book. And that's when they told me, because I wrote it down while I was asleep. I wrote it down on my notebook without ever waking up, the title of the book they gave me, and it was Canine Spirit Guides. So then I knew I was going to be writing about my dogs, my beautiful dogs of my entire life. So I thought, oh, this is going to be so easy. Well, as I started writing the stories, things started to happen. I had to learn to meditate, which I've never done before. And as I meditated with the intent of getting clarity on the book, I began to heal myself, healing from trauma of this life, other lives, ancestral patterns, things I didn't even know existed, things I didn't know I needed healing from started to just show up. Mm-hmm. And the more I healed, the more I could identify the canine spirit guides. I could see them. I could hear them distinctly. I could understand who they were, how they wanted to be perceived and expressed, what jobs they actually held. They each have very specific job titles, mm-hmm. and they each have very significant names too. And so as I wrote this book, I went through a healing journey, and I didn't understand until months after it was published that the whole point of writing the book was to understand the healing that they have to offer. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I was going to go out there and sell all these books. It was that I was going to offer their healing services to humanity. The healing that they have to offer us, I was going to be channeling that and eventually teaching it too.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how it came about in a nutshell.
Yeah, no. And that's crazy, because I was thinking about it. Yeah. Meditation is very, very hard. So for you to go from nothing to meditating and then finding all the stuff out is wild. I've tried to meditate, but my brain won't stop.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one of those people that just, I try and it just is going. And I'm like, stop. And it won't stop. And then it makes me exist.
No, you don't want it to stop. You want to use that to your advantage, because that's what they taught me. They taught me how to use that mind to make it work for me.
Okay.
To put it into action. Yeah. So my meditations aren't quiet. They're very active.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cause you always hear meditating is like, you're supposed to be calm. You're supposed to be, you know, Zen. You're supposed to be not really thinking about anything in particular, just letting it, you know, flow. But mine's so fast that it would stress me out. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done.
And then you go into conflict, mm-hmm. right? So when you're in conflict like that, you're never going to find the peace, right?
Right.
100%. So that's why you don't want to fight with it, because that defeats the purpose of it. So yeah, I had to deal with that myself too, because I'm not a person. I'm a very active person. I'm constantly moving. I'm an athlete. I want answers. I don't want to sit and wait, mm-hmm. you know? So I had to deal with that as well. And what I discovered was that it's not about fighting yourself over it. It's about working with all the parts of you in order to get through to the other side. So you have to find the calm and the chaos, right? You have to go through the chaos and be like, okay, where is it? Where is it?
Right.
Show me where to go.
Wow. Yeah.
As you find your ability to work through that chaos, then you do get to the calm, but you can't fight it. You mm-hmm. have to work with it.
Wow. That's really good advice. I'm going to have to try that. Cause yeah, I've always had really hard time with meditating, a really hard time with actually just sitting in the, you know, sitting
yeah,
and not being like, you know, all the time. Yeah. That's
I developed a mini meditation course that's on my website, and it teaches these basic principles, and it actually, it includes meditation sessions that are energetically downloaded to help you. So mm-hmm. it's an energetic experience. Instead of just listening to someone's meditation, you're actually getting an energetic upgrade or upload that will help you to bridge that gap. But yeah, I don't meditate the way you're supposed to meditate. I sit mm-hmm. in a chair, you know, I listen to earbuds, you know, if I need to open my eyes, I open my eyes. I mean, I break all the rules.
Yeah.
And yet I'm incredibly productive in my meditations, and they don't have to take very long, you know, and you can achieve so much with a meditation when you know how to do it and you can energetically align with it.
Yeah. We'll have to check that out, guys. Cause, I think they probably have the same issues that I do, where my brain is just, it won't stop.
Yeah.
So, okay. So cool. So tell us a little bit about the process. Like what did they first start telling you, and you know, all of that? I'm really interested.
Yeah. So this story I'm going to tell you is really magical, because this kind of illustrates how they work. So before I could hear them, I had a mentor that helped me walk through this whole journey, because I didn't know how to meditate. I didn't know how to channel. I didn't even know that I was going to have to do that. So I had someone that I could bounce questions off of and say, hey, I'm stuck. What do I do? So I was trying to connect with these guides because I was hearing that that's what I needed to do. So I sat in meditation and I actually could see one of the dogs sitting in front of me. And I was like, oh, wow, I've never been able to do that before. Well, he was sitting in front of me and I said, please tell me what I need to know. Tell me what it is that you need to share with me. And I could see his mouth moving, but I couldn't hear anything. So I said, okay, turn it up. I can't hear you. Can you turn it up so I can hear you? I still couldn't hear him. I got so frustrated. And this is your typical frustration with meditation, right? Mm-hmm. So this frustration just starts to build. And the more frustrated you get, the more nothing happens. So I got out of my meditation. I texted my mentor and I said, I'm so frustrated. You know, I can't hear anything. I told him to speak louder and he wouldn't do it. What do I do?
Right.
And he says, what's the emotion? What's coming up for you right now? And when he said that, I felt this rush. And this is just over text. I felt this rush of energy flush through me. And instantly I was connected with my childhood memories of when I was with an abusive father and my German Shepherd was sitting next to me. And I didn't have a voice. I didn't have any way of speaking up for myself, of expressing how much pain I was in. And instead I just stuffed it down. So he was representing my voice when he was showing me that picture. And as soon as all those memories came flooding in, I went back into meditation and this massive release happened where it was almost like a convulsion without ever losing consciousness or biting my tongue or anything. My body just began to shake and tremble and all this energy started moving through it. And all these sounds started coming out of my mouth and these tears were streaming down my face, even though I wasn't crying. This is a release, a huge release. Mm. As this energy was released, I received my first poem from the canine guides. I just wrote it down.
Mm.
I had no idea it was coming out. I had no idea what, at the time, I wasn't paying attention to what I was writing. I was just writing. Mm. I guess you would consider it free writing. Mm. So when I got done with it, I kind of looked at it all and I went, oh my gosh, this is the story of me and this dog. This is what he was offering me. And it turned out to be the message from that canine guide, Oscar. And by the way, the German Shepherd that sat at my side was not the same dog that I saw sitting in front of me that I couldn't hear. Mm-hmm. So another thing they were showing me was that these two dogs were the same dog. So the German Shepherd sitting next to me was when I was 11, 12 years old. Mm-hmm. The dog I saw sitting in front of me was when I was 35.
Mm.
So he had reincarnated at strategic times in my life to help me with the same issue.
Okay. Yeah. I always wondered that because I like to believe in reincarnation. You know, that was always something that I thought was probable, like out of all the things that you can think of, like reincarnation mm-hmm. was always kind of probable to me. And oddly enough, like the puppy that you just mentioned, and I'll do a whole episode, guys, you guys will get all the tea on it. I haven't told anybody yet. So
I broke the news.
You're fine. You're totally fine. But I have to say, the weird thing is I had this urge to get her. Like I didn't think I was mentally prepared. I didn't think I was ready. I wanted to wait. One of my dogs has bladder cancer and I wanted to wait until he wasn't suffering anymore so that he didn't feel like we were replacing him and all that. But this run of the rescues posted her and I was like, I don't know why I'm feeling this pull. I need to get her. And it moved really fast. It was less mm-hmm. than 24 hours. She was already on a plane out here. And I went and got her from the airport. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then after we were sitting with her, I looked. And one of our dogs had passed away. Same breed. It was Kaya. And they both have the same markings, which is the weirdest
mm-hmm.
thing, like ever. The weirdest thing. So it's wild that you say that because I 100% believe that reincarnation is real. And I would hope that that's her. You know, that's Kaya again coming back, making her second round.
So the first thing you described is a calling. And every single dog in my book, I found through a calling. So some of them called to me from foreign countries that I never went to. I didn't speak the language, you know. I had to find these dogs. But that's that urgency where you're being called, your soul is being called. And no matter what, you have to answer it. You can't take no for an answer. You can't default to logic and say, I can't afford it. It doesn't make sense. My lifestyle won't support it. There is no fighting it. You just have to do it. And that's a divine calling. That's a connection there. It's a bookmark that you need to acquire in order to make the next chapter in your life, so to speak. Like you have to connect that dot. If you miss that dot, you thought that calling was intense. Wait until you see what happens if you miss the boat. So that's what I want your audience to sort of think about is, when have you been called by a dog? You know, they'll call you to come find them, because that's a soul connection you need to make. And then the other point I want to harp on there is that you wanted to wait until your other dog was done. And I've had that same inclination myself. But what the canine guides have explained to me is they're so protective of us that they want to make sure the next, what's the word? The next round, or the next guardian, is in place before they give up their post. So, and the same thing happened to me. I didn't want another dog at all. And my dog was 13. And when she left, I was going to be done with dogs, not ever have any more dogs. I was tired of dogs. I wanted to be free. I wanted to travel, you know. But they had another plan for me. And that was before I knew I was writing the book. And so that dog made me find my new dog that was her replacement. But it was critical that that new puppy came while she was still there, because she needed to impart her wisdom. She needed to feel secure about leaving me in the hands of the next guardian. So she literally spent 1 year, only 1 year, from the time I got that puppy until she left. Because she needed to make sure the full cycle was secure, that she had imparted all the wisdom of a full cycle with this new guardian. And on that puppy's birthday, she announced to me that she was leaving. She was so glad that the puppy had made a whole year. She had completed her duty. She was now released and she would be leaving. And she left 3 days later. But I wanted to share that with you and your audience, because so many of us feel that way. Like we want to honor the older, you know, guardian, and say, no, I don't want to take that from you. I don't want to, you know, take the attention from you. I don't want you to feel like you're being replaced. But they want us to replace them. They want us to feel loved. They want us to know that we're cared for, and they want to make sure that the next guardian is fully vetted by them, and they have time to depart their wisdom for the changing of the guards, right? So they actually encourage it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people need to hear that because there's that sense of guilt. There's that sense of, I know with me, you know, we lost one a year ago, and then we found out our other one was sick. And I was just in my own head was like, okay, I don't want either one of them to feel like we're replacing them. I don't want either one of them to feel like I'm just that they're replaceable, you know, because the bond I have with them is, to me, I can't compare it to anything else. It was different for each one, but it was so strong that it, you know, there wasn't anything else. So I guess what I want to ask you is, do you have any advice for people I know a lot of people maybe say they are a one dog household and that dog has passed away unexpectedly, or maybe they expected it and they have not gotten another dog because they don't feel like they're ready, or they don't feel like, you know, they're scared to do it all over again. Do you
Yeah.
have any advice for those people on what you would tell them, like, about the situation and how it's viewed through the guides and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's a great point, and that's also something that's brought up in my book that I breach upon in my book is that the first thing we need to realize is that our dogs come into our life. They're not an accident. They know exactly why they're there, even if you don't. And they also depart at a very specific time. So I've had only one dog ever to make it past 7 years with me. And she made it to 13. The rest of my dogs, I might have only had them 2 years. I might have had them 5 years or 7 years, but I could never break past that 7 year point. But why I'm telling you this is because they will depart when it's necessary for you, even though you don't understand why. So, in one of my stories, I had a dog that suddenly left me and broke my heart. I think he was seven, a little Sheltie, and he was my bud. He was my right-hand dude. I mean, we went everywhere together. And he suddenly left me. He became paralyzed. And it wasn't something I saw coming, and it was very devastating. It left a huge hole for me. But what ended up happening at that moment was he had to step out very suddenly, because what the guides revealed during that story is that I needed to travel and to actually move. I was supposed to move across country to a different state because it was necessary for me to do that to meet my husband. Had he not left me, I would have never felt unsettled enough to be able to start looking outward and start considering a change. And then I also wouldn't have been free enough to find my husband, because in order to find him, I had to travel even more to find him because he didn't live where I moved. So this dog stepped out of the way, created a hole that made me start searching and digging. And as soon as I located my future husband, which I didn't know at the time because we'd only started dating, he reappeared again in my life as a different dog, like that. So he came back, like, and he wasn't even a puppy when he came back. And I couldn't even describe why I was getting this dog because it didn't make any sense for me to get a dog. But I did remark in my journals, I said, this dog feels so much like Mo. How could that be? Because the dates didn't match up as far as when this dog would have been conceived and my other dog dying. But I didn't understand how any of it worked at that point. So my point in saying this is, have peace with yourself and understanding there's a much bigger picture that you might not understand for why this dog is stepping out. They'll never leave you. They are part of your soul family. They are your soul mate. They never leave you. So whether they stay around you in spirit form, because all of them are constantly around me, or whether they reincarnate in a different dog, they're always going to be with you. So don't be sad, they say. Don't cry, they say. We're always here, and you will see us again. So focus on that. And instead of focusing on the loss that you received, turn inward and focus on what that dog had to share with you. Why was that dog in your life? What was it, or what is it if they're still alive? What is it that they're offering you and they want you to see or hear or know? Because that's why they come in our lives. So I think there was another point I was going to make about that, but I can't remember what it is now. So maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, no, we always talk about that. We always talk about it on the podcast. Almost every single person I have interviewed, their life was changed dramatically based off of the life that was there for them. You know, and we've had people where it's not just dogs. We've had cat, you know, a couple of cat people and stuff like that. But we've always talked about, sorry guys, I'm crying. You can probably tell.
Sorry, I made you cry.
No, you're totally fine. I I'm a new mother, so you know how that goes. You cry about everything. So, no, we always talk about how different, like, the trajectory of our life is with either them being in our lives or the loss of them. It's
Yes.
wild when you think about it, because I've interviewed so many people. They've started nonprofits, they've started rescues. I started a business and this podcast
Yeah.
based off the loss. It changed where how my trajectory of what I wanted to do with my life. I want to be a counselor now, based off
Yeah,
of this
right.
one being, you know what I mean? And so,
And that was the point, right? That's your
right.
gift that they
Okay.
came to give you. So focus on that. And
Right.
then if that's not enough, focus on where you're going to find them again. Start feeling with your heart, because you can connect with them when they're still in spirit form, when they've passed over. You can still connect within them. So memorize that heart feeling, that heart string you have with them, and then project that out into the world and say, where are you? Where can I find you if you want them back? And they'll come back.
You're getting
Yeah.
me. You're
Yeah.
getting me. Because I did that. I did that with Kaya. You know, I did, like, she passed away. It was a year ago in September. And I recently was like begging her, send me a sign, Kaya, please. Please. I'll do anything. Just send me a sign. Send me a sign. And all these dogs would come over my feed and I'd be like interested. And I'd be like, no, Kayla, you're not ready. And then I'd be like, oh, and then I'm like, no, you're not ready. Oh, you're not ready. And I put an adoption application for the specific dog and it didn't pan out. It was the weirdest thing. You know, it was like they said she was kind of nippy or whatever. And I'm like, that's fine. We'll take nippy. I don't care, you know. And then here comes this puppy, just, and I didn't even want a puppy. I wanted like a couple years old because puppyhood is hard. Puppyhood is hard, and dog, you know, training them to go outside and all that, and we're in the middle of winter, so that speaks to me, and I appreciate you saying that, and I know a lot of our listeners will really appreciate just everything you just said, because
And you see how that worked, right? There
yeah.
was a you were getting plenty of feedback from your higher self about not being ready, not being ready, but you were still putting out there, right? So your
Yeah.
intention was out there. Your higher self was regulating the pace. And then you're like, I think I want this dog. And then the dog, see, the dog you're meant to be with will hold space. It will not be adoptable by anybody else but you. It will wait for you. It's just like buying a house. When you're supposed to have that house, no one else will be able to buy it. All the sales will fall through until you come along. So the same things happened to me with dogs. Dogs have waited for me until I found them. And so that dog, the dog you wanted to adopt, was like, nope, I'm not for you. You need to keep on moving. So they just made sure that you kept moving in the right direction. And when you understand that, when you trust it and you lean into it a little bit, you can learn to use it to your advantage. And it gives you so much comfort because all of a sudden you're in control.
Yes. My gosh. I think I needed this. I know you guys need this, but I think I needed this. It's very serendipitous, you know, like it's very crazy. We were gonna, you know, we what when were we gonna do this? We were gonna do it. We were talking in like November.
Oh, yeah, we had to reschedule.
And we had to reschedule. And then, you know, with the holidays and everything in December. And so when this finally came around, it's like crazy when you think about it that I just got her Saturday and then we're doing this episode and you're kind of bringing everything. It's really it's very comforting, and I think a lot of
Yeah.
people will get comfort from it too, that even though I always try to remind myself it's about the life and not the death that you
Yes.
had with them. And sometimes it can be very hard to remember that because the death is a lot of times very traumatizing, but I'm trying to remember the life, you
The
know?
more you, and I had this come up, I just did a podcast on this. The more triggered you are about that, and the more grief that comes up, the guides are showing you, your dog is showing you that there's some healing that needs to happen there. The more you're able to embrace that kind of experience, see it for what it is, be a little bit sad and be like, you know, I know it was for the best. I know there's a bigger picture here I can't see. I know there's something bigger coming. The more you can make that transition and maintain a higher perspective with it, the more healed you are. So the more agonizing your process is, the more the guides are inviting you to heal something. So to give you a concrete example, I had somebody review my book who read it. And the book can be hard for people to read because I'm telling you about 10 of my dogs that have don't live anymore. They've passed on. So there are some death stories in the book, and I knew it was going to trigger some people. And there's a disclaimer at the beginning of the book. Please don't let that scare you away from reading this book, because it's within our own pain that we stand the most to grow and to heal. So if we're willing to go into that pain state and to explore it and experience it and understand it, the more we can heal through it. So this one gal read my book, and the only thing that spoke to her was the pet loss and the negative experiences I had as a child with the pets, that my dogs, but it was mostly my parents that was a negative experience. So it activated her, and she completely twisted around the story and made it into something it wasn't, because that's something in her that needs to be healed. So the dogs will show us where we need to heal, especially the canine spirit guides. They're speaking through your dogs. And when things come up that are traumatic, unbearable, painful, this is what needs to be healed. And this is why we're here. This planet, Earth, is the only place we can experience all of these emotions. And this is why we come here, is to heal through these emotions, because it's a powerful way of healing. And it's a powerful way for our souls to grow through it. You can't experience this kind of growth anywhere else. So when you understand that, you're like, bring it. I want to master this, you know? So that's what they're inviting you. When you go through that trauma and that pain, it's an invitation to heal.
I'm letting it sink in a little bit.
Yeah, it's a
I
little
feel like,
heavy.
I feel like this is the first Guys, this is the first time I like can't actually like talk. Like I'm just listening and like taking it all in. Like I can't even communicate back to, like because I'm thinking of everything. And you guys all think like I do. Well, similar to I do. So I know that this is people, it's gonna really resonate with people. And there's gonna be people that are listening that maybe their companion animal has passed away and it's either been recently or, some years. What would you say to them about opening themselves up to possibly finding that next love is what I always say. That next connection.
So I think you illustrated a perfect way to do that, actually. You want to connect deeply with yourself. So first off, when you're in a state of pain, you're not going to be attracting. Okay? Pain is a lower vibration. It's a lower frequency, a lower energy. You have to heal the pain first before you can elevate your energy, before you can elevate your frequency, and then that's when you attract. So, we talk about the law of attraction, we talk about manifestation. None of that works unless you're willing to heal what's ailing you, right? Because a lot of people will try those techniques and say it doesn't work. Well, you haven't cleared out your energy field. So, who wants to be attracted to something that's not happy or a little bit grouchy? Who's attracted to that? You're not going to gravitate to that and say, hey, I think you're a lot of fun. Let's go have a good time together, right? So you have to clear that out before you're ready to attract. So before you start looking for your next dog, sit in that energy for a moment. Really go inward and ask yourself, what is it I need to know here? What is it that this experience is trying to teach me? What do I need to heal deep down inside of me? Because when we grieve like that, I mean, it just comes up from the bellows, right? It's deep because that wound is deep.
Yeah.
And that, because the bond was so deep, it left a huge hole. And because it's so special and deep, that's a huge opportunity to access pain that's buried that deeply, right? A lot of times we're not vulnerable enough to get to that stuff. So this is a huge opportunity for healing. So do that first. And the next thing is, just like you did, ask yourself, am I ready? And you'll get an answer back, just like you did. You were hearing, no, I'm not ready. You'll get an answer. Your higher self will say, nope, keep on moving, you know?
Right.
Or it'll be like, let's look at the ads, you know? And sometimes you'll start looking because you're curious, and still you'll hear yes, no. So tune into that and trust it. Don't force it. Don't try and force something that's not there, because then you're going to have a mismatch, and then you're just going to have more energy that you need to fix later. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to do that. Keep listening to yourself and honestly try and find a connection. Remember that feeling in your heart with that previous connection. And that's what you want to focus on, because that's what you're looking for. Pay attention to your dreams, because a lot of times they'll come in the dreams. And I will capture the energy of the next dog from a dream. And I'll be like, that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I'll try and find. It could be an old memory you have that just sparks up. You're like, oh, and focus on that energy that the memory gives you. That's what you need to be looking for. There's lots of stories in my book of how they all called to me and how I found them. So that'll give you a lot of really good examples of how it can happen. It's different mm-hmm. for everybody, and it's different for each scenario too. And sometimes you might go visit somebody who has a dog. You hold that dog and you just feel this heart connection, mm-hmm. you know, and you might be like, oh, that's what I need right there. So it'll give you a really good example, unless your friend is ready to give up that dog and you'll take that dog home. But, you know,
right.
But those are just ways to kind of to identify what it is you're seeking, or mm-hmm. The direction you need to go now after that one has left. Is it going to be the same energy? Is it going to be something different? Maybe you're ready to move on to a higher level, because mm-hmm. each of these guides all represent a certain level of healing. So they all have different focuses, different purposes, and they all help us with different parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just hypothetically, because I know like I did this. Well, and you even said, you were like, I'm not getting dogs anymore. And I was the same way. After we lost Kai, I was like, oh my God, I have to do this 3 more times. I'm never getting another dog. Like, I can't do this.
It's awful. Yeah.
What would you say to somebody that's like very, very like, I will never be ready to have another animal, another dog? What would be your advice for somebody like that?
Well, check in with yourself. Number one, if you feel that way, it could be resistance.
Mm-hmm.
It could be resistance to feeling pain, right?
Yeah.
It might not be. It might just be like, I'm done. You know, it was an incredible experience. I'm just ready to do something else with my life. And that's kind of where I was at. And mm-hmm. Come to find out, I was not done. But I listened to where I was being led and what I was being told. So always check in with yourself. It might be just fine for you to not have another dog. It might be. And then again, 20 years down the road, that might change.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to not judge any circumstance and realize that life is fluid and your journey is fluid and it can change in a second. So just be open to that change, whether it is finding a new dog, a new companion, or finding a different direction without a dog, because there are other forms of companions. There are other connections and relationships you can have, not just with dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really nice. I like that you said that. It almost gives me like, it kind of opened my eyes on just the relationship that I have with my dogs. You know, I always felt weird. I always felt like outsider, basically. because of how strong my connection was with to my dogs versus human beings. You know what I mean? Like I never
Same.
was, it was never like the
Yeah.
same connection.
Right.
And I always felt weird. I always felt like, how can I not connect? Like, what's wrong with me that I can't connect with the human like I connect with my dogs? So for you to say all that stuff, it like makes sense to me of like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Like, that's why.
Well, and that's a great example of why the canine guides connect with us through the dogs, because humanity opens our hearts up to our dogs.
Right.
We love, no matter where you live, well, some places aren't the same, but most people have such a heart connection with our dogs that there's a huge access right there to our soul, to our core being that we won't give anybody else. Right? We won't
Yeah.
even give to other people, our
Oh, yeah.
spouses, our children. It's not the same. So this is a huge access point, and that's why the canine spirit guides are connecting through the dogs, is because that's an opportunity for some really tremendous healing through that access.
Wow.
And you just explained it. It's because we
Yeah.
don't feel the same way about anything else.
No. Well, it's that unconditional love. I feel like that was always my thing, is they trust you unconditionally. If you have that connection with them, it's like, and it's the same for me. I don't trust anybody, but I
Right.
trust my dogs.
Right.
You know? So it's the same. Can you say one more time, just because I think that this is going to be very pivotal for people to hear. Can you tell us one more time how we're going to see them again?
How you're going to see them again, the
Yeah,
dogs?
like the that we have a soul link and that we'll continue to, whether it's they stay around us or they come back and reincarnate. Just explain it a little bit one more time, because I think it's a very pivotal thing. In my head, that's one thing that I had the hardest time with, is was that it? And then they're, I'm never going to be able to talk to her again or see her again or say the things I wanted to say or have her feel the things I wanted her to feel.
I have so many stories I want to tell you. Oh my gosh. That would just really make you feel so much better. They are always with us. Oh my gosh, I have so many stories that are just wanting to come through. They're and let me this might help. I mean, I had to separate from one of my dogs that I was incredibly bonded with, and she was still alive. I decided in her best interest that because she was competing with another dog of mine and they were getting in fights, I decided to put her in a home where she would be head of household and not feel threatened by another dog stepping on her toes and challenging her rank. So out of the kindness of my heart, and also because I didn't feel like I truly deep down inside, I truly didn't deserve her because she was a magnificent animal. I found out later. I decided to rehome her. And when I did this, I broke her heart. Of course, I broke my own heart too, but I did this for her. She still came around. I could feel her visiting me when I was out on the training field with my other dog competing. I could feel her with me. And I'm like, how can that be? She's not dead. How can she be here with me in broad daylight? I'm not meditating here. I'm just living. When, she's not dead. I wasn't clear how all this worked. What I found out a couple weeks later was that she was trying to kill herself so she could come back to me. Yeah. So her new owner took her in to have her spayed, and she had a blood clotting disorder nobody knew about, and the vet didn't do any preliminary tests. So she almost bled out with the surgery. But she was trying to come back to me. And what I did at that moment, when her new owner called me and said, help, she's dying, I sat down with her energy and I said, look, I love you so much. I want to be together too, but we can't right now. I said, please. It killed me. It killed me to do this. I said, please, they love you so much right now. Please stay with them. I'm getting chills telling the story. Please stay with them and love them. They deserve that. You would break their heart if you leave them. She recovered. She made a full recovery. She lived another 12 years with them. She died at 13. and you know, just quietly off in a corner somewhere. She just tiptoed off and died. And they called me 2 years later and I didn't find out about it. Well, it turned out as I was writing the book, I learned what happened when she died. She literally came back and she traded places with the dog that I had at the moment. The live dog. They traded places.
Oh my gosh.
It's called a walk-in. Yeah. So that will blow your mind. And that just goes to say, to show you what they are truly capable of. They never leave you. And
wow.
You'll notice that they visit you in your dreams. You'll notice a little tickle on your hand when they brush up in spirit form. They'll brush up on your hand to say, I'm here. Or they'll lay on your feet when your feet are cold just to watch over you when they've passed on. They never leave you.
I love
and
that.
And they're part of your soul family.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back because they're never completely done until you're done. And then you also have the same dogs lifetime after lifetime.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I was thinking about, like, I hoped that's how it was. Like, I had hoped that, because it's weird how you can just love something so unconditionally, like, love each other like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just wild when you think about it, because you just love them for everything. The good, the
right.
bad, the ugly. You know, like,
well,
you just love each other.
And this might blow your mind too, but there are some people who incarnate as dogs.
Really?
Yeah. There are some dogs you look at and you're like, that's a person.
That's how I thought. It's funny you say that, because that's exactly Gaia. I thought she was a person. She would look at me like she knew exactly what I was saying and how I was saying it. Like, there were times she had blue eyes too. So maybe that had a lot to do with it. Cause you know how blue eyes are very human.
Yeah.
I would like wake up in the middle of the night and I like roll over and she'd be sitting at the end of the bed just staring at me, and I'd be like, ah, you're creeping me out, Kiki. Like, what are you doing? Because she was very human, and then she'd be staring at me while I was sleeping. So
yeah
that's hilarious. I love that. I'm so glad we had you on the show. I'm so can we
Thank
talk
you.
About your book? Tell everybody where they can find your book, your website, everything, so people can find you.
The book is Canine Spirit Guides, The Healing Power of Man's Best Friend. And it's the letter K, number 9. They were very specific about that. you can get the book anywhere. I also have it on Audible. I recorded it myself, so the frequency is pure. And you can get it on ebook, on Amazon, anywhere. On my webpage is heatherleestrom.com, heatherleighstrom.com. And you can work with the Canine Spirit Guides in a private session with me. I also do group sessions that you can sign up for that are really fun and intense and incredible. I also do my own podcast where we delve into topics that are channeled through the Canine Spirit Guides. And at the end of that discussion, we do a group healing over that topic. And I think the next one I'm going to record is about, you know, grieving the fallen canine, because they're telling me as I was preparing for this podcast that there's some healing that needs to be offered around that topic. And let's see what else. Oh, I have a couple free gifts on my website. You can see if your dog is acting as a conduit for the Canine Spirit Guides in my handbook. You can get free off of my webpage. And then also there's a really cool meditation from one of the Canine Spirit Guides on my webpage that's amazing. So even if you don't think you can meditate, try it out and see if it's any easier with meditating with Anthea, because it's just a beautiful meditation she's gifted everybody.
Awesome. I'm so excited. I'm so excited that you came on the show. I hope you guys check out her book. I hope you guys check out her podcast, everything. I think it's just, you know, a different way to look at things. And like, let's be honest, nobody knows what happens. Nobody knows what happens when we, you know, I mean, There are some people that will know that what happens, but for the most part, the general public, we have no idea what the afterlife looks like or what happens when you die or anything like that. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking
Thank
about
you.
it. And I think that my listeners will really, really appreciate it too. And it offers a lot of comfort. And you're very, your vibe, I always say vibe, your vibe is very calming.
Thank you.
Like you have a very, like, I like the way you talk and your vibe is really great. So I bet you your podcast is awesome because you just are a very soothing person.
Thank you. That's the energy of the canine guides coming through, because whenever I'm talking about them, I'm channeling them. So that's what you're picking up on, that energy.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Well, thank you so much for taking your time and coming on the show. I appreciate you. And I guess I always say this. I always say to all of my guests, in a year from now, we want to do another episode and we want to check in with you and maybe see book number two's out and all that. So if you're interested, we always love, and we actually follow through and we get people a year later where we'll interview them from when they've been on the show. So if you're interested,
awesome.
We'd love to have you again.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome.
Sign me up.
Yes, for sure. I'm sure this is going to be a very well listened to episode. So I am very pleased and excited for everybody to hear it. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you,
and
Kayla.
I guess I will talk to you guys later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.